Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation tonight about teen dating violence. What are the signs? What are parents missing? How can they address it? How can teens address it? We are joined now by Carlotta Wade. She is a recreation specialist with the Department of Parks and Recreation with the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. And, of course, we continue with Queen Afi. She is a domestic violence survivor as well as victims advocate. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. Carlotta, thanks for joining me. Let me start with you. You talk to young people and you train them to address this issue. What does that training look like? What do you say to them?
Basically, what we try to instill in them is self-worth, mm-hmm. and what that means to them as an individual. And also tell them what the stats and what the signs are, because 9 times out of 10, they don't believe that they're in a domestic, in any type of domestic problems, because maybe they see it at home and that's the norm for them. And we have to tell them that that is not the norm. So in a sense, we have to, as Spike Lee say, unlearn them. That's a word, a term that he uses. So basically, we try to do that through... we bring them all together through some type of music festival, and then during that time, we try to educate them on the stats and what they can do, and also provide resources for them.
We were all teenagers once, and we all dated as teenagers, I would imagine, young teenagers, old teenagers, somewhere in the middle. Is it unrealistic to expect that during that dating process, during that puppy love process, whatever you want to call it, that there will not be conflicts, that there will not be arguments? I know I had arguments with girlfriends. No, did I hit them? No. Did I yell at them? Mm-hmm. Did they yell at me? Absolutely. I'm not an abuser, and nor were they. So are we in a position where we are... Are we asking too much for them to tamp down the emotions, or isn't anger a natural thing? Aren't conflicts for teenagers during that process a natural thing?
Well, I don't think we're saying not to have anger. It's how you deal with your anger, mm-hmm. and how you respond to someone else's anger is what we're addressing. Because if you're an angry teenager, you're going to be an angry adult. I hear so many women, myself included, the things that we go through as teens, if we do not deal with them as teens, we're going to have to deal with them as an adult. And if we don't deal with them, then we're going to have the same challenges that we have, not understanding that there really are challenges until someone come and, in a sense, give them an epiphany of what their life really consists of.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about teen dating violence. Let's talk to Jerome, calling from Southeast. Jerome, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm calling in reference to the teen violence.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm a middle-aged man now, but based on this conversation, I remember when I was a teen, and I was in a relationship with a young lady, and it was very violent on her part, and I couldn't understand it because it's as far as my family went, my parents never argued in front of me, and I never knew what it meant to argue with a woman about really anything. And when I was in a relationship with this woman, she was very argumentative and very abusive and violently abusive, and I couldn't understand it. And it resulted in us having a child. I hung in there anyway because I cared about her. I loved her. And it resulted in a child, and to the point where we broke up, and she used my child against me, and I never was able to really raise him. And to this day, he doesn't speak to me, and I don't know where he is. Hmm. But I say this to say that. I think that the abusive actions in a relationship has to do with the parents. I never knew what it meant to argue about, mm-hmm. you know, anything, because my parents never argued in front of me, but yet still she was very violent, and she was from a single family, and, mm-hmm. and it was very abusive in her family. So I do believe that that comes from your parents.
Let me see what my guests have to say about that. Carlotta, you wanted to comment, and then Queen, you... Oh, you couldn't hear him. You heard him, Queen? Please go right ahead.
Yes, I will have to say that I do agree with him. You know, there is a lot of cases where women are more aggressive. Like I said, I was the abuser myself, so I understand what you experienced in a relationship like that, where that woman was controlling everything and was being aggressive towards you. Did that come from somewhere? It did. It came from my upbringing, you know, and the sisters in my family were very strong sisters, and they just didn't tolerate anything. So my attitude was that way as I got old, and then as I got good at it, where I could really control, where now I don't even have to hit you. I can just verbally control you, emotionally control you. And I'll use physical when I want to, when I feel like it, I'll use it again. But again, that came from somewhere. So I do agree with him that there are a lot of cases that is their upbringing. They grow up in it and it's their normal and that's what they are. Should he have stayed? No. He should have ran. Mm-hmm. You know, run from somebody like me. You know, but oftentimes men, and that's what I find with my men's group, they stay in these relationships and think that it's going to get better and think that they have it under control and think that if they get a woman a baby, that's going to make it better. That's not going to make it. She's still going to be aggressive.
I see. What he was saying was that he was, as a teenager, he was dating a young lady. He never saw his parents argue, and so as a result, he didn't understand the kind of violent nature, verbally or otherwise. They had a child together. He hung in there, and eventually they parted. He doesn't know where his son is. He believes that she was using his son against him. But his point was he believes that it comes from the home, from the parents.
I also believe that it comes from young women thinking young men are not going to hit them back. I hear from a lot of young ladies that who states, "I can't believe he hit me," and women like, "Well, you hit him first." It's not in past generations or even my generation where men are taught not to hit a young lady no matter what the circumstances are. So we see a lot of young women, especially on social media, you see it all the time, where the young lady physically harmed the young man and the young man is saying stop, and she doesn't. And then when he retaliates, she gets upset, and then it's a fight that occurs. So I think it comes from morals and values, and it's just not the same generation as it used to be.
Jerome, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. We really appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about teen dating violence. Deidre, calling from Northwest Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I wanted to share a story. I'm glad I came in on this part of the segment because my godson, my son, he's 19 years old, and he's doing 16 years in jail. Mm. And he's in jail for domestic abuse. I knew about it. I knew that it could happen. I thought that I had actually stopped it from happening, and it was happening right underneath my nose. When he was 16, he started dating a young lady. And I caught a letter. I intercepted a letter while I was cleaning up his room. And she noted in the letter that she wrote to him that he didn't show her any affection because he never put his hands on her. Now, that's contrary to how I raised him to be. And in turn, I had a conversation with him about that. He said, yeah, she pushes me. She wants me to hit her. If I don't hit her, she calls me a punk. And I thought, well, we need to have an intervention. So sat down, had a conversation with the young lady, with her mother, and I kind of tried to get to the point that this is not normal, and it's not okay for you to associate violence with love.
But let me ask you, Deidre, if you did not raise him that way, where do you suppose he got it from?
Well, they continued to date after mm-hmm. the intervention. So I was under the impression that, okay, we're going to kind of keep an eye on it, but the violence was increasing between the two of them away from me. Her mother knew about it. She never contacted me and told me that it was happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm on my end, I'm thinking everything is okay. I don't see any violence. She's still around. She's coming around to the house. And one day I get a call from the police and they tell me that my son has been arrested for domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And they were at her house. They cut school and they were at her house. They had a huge fight and he beat her up. She went to the hospital as a result, and he got charged, and he was arrested and sentenced to 16 years in jail. Apparently, there had been several. She had pressed charges against him several times. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that any of this was happening because the charges came when he turned 18.
Well, let me stop you there and go to my guests here, Queen. What perhaps could she have done? Obviously, hindsight is 2020, and I don't just mean Deidre, but also the young lady's parents, or perhaps even, you know, their peers to intervene mm-hmm. in something like this.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's back and forth. Victims and abusers do that a lot, the back and forth, where eventually somebody ends up getting hurt really bad or somebody ends up dying out of the relationship. We try as parents to intervene to get them to see, look, this is domestic violence or this is teen dating violence. Like the relationship is spiraling out of control right before your eyes. And like she said, her mom may have known, but maybe she didn't know what to do at the time. Maybe her daughter wasn't listening to her, just like her son was not listening to her. You know, and the other thing that we can do, you know, is get them our story. Not only that, you can report it. You know, as a young man, if this is happening to you, then we need to report it. If somebody's putting their hands on you or have, you know, scarred your face up as a young man, because the men think that they shouldn't report it.
But isn't there a kind of an unwritten code, this no snitching thing among young people?
Well, it's beyond that now.
Understood. And you say that, and you're not a teen.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the attitude that they may have, right or wrong, that how do you correct that code, that attitude that you do not tell, that you keep it between the two of you because it is, quote unquote, our relationship, Carlotta?
I would suggest to parents to have communication. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Mm-hmm. I would suggest to have communications, family time at dinner, when you're driving in the car, whenever it is, ask those questions. And based on your relationship with your child, you should know how to respond. And then mentor programs. They have a lot of mentor programs that men can talk to young men and young ladies can talk to young ladies. Because I might not tell you something, but I might tell someone else something. But the young man probably felt like he didn't know what to do or how to do it. So by communicating with the mom when he was under 18, then the mom will take over and then it won't be snitching, because then my mom now is involved and my mom now is pressing charges and my mom now is going to go to court. So now it leaves that whole scenario behind. Mm-hmm. I just think communication is so important, and we need mentoring programs too.
And hearing the stories of people that have experienced it, mm-hmm. you know, churches are having stories. Schools are having, park and planning are bringing this conversation out where other teens can hear it and hear stories like mine and, you know, other stories that that travel with me to help kind of break that code of I am actually in an abusive relationship. Because, again, they don't want to believe that it's actually happening to them.
Okay. I'm going to take a break when we come back. And Deidre, by the way, thank you so much for sharing with us. We're going to talk to Kim in Columbia on the other side of this break. We're talking about teen dating violence. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation tonight about teen dating violence. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Columbia. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, how are you?
Just fine.
I am a product of a dysfunctional household as a young lady. And it definitely followed me throughout my adulthood. I'll be 40. And I've seen in every relationship that I've had from being 16 to now some aspect of abuse, whether it was physical or mental or even verbal for most of it. And I've allowed it because of the learned pattern that your guest was speaking of. And I have a 9-year-old now. And I've had to take measures to, one, break the cycle for myself and so that I can have a healthy relationship going forward.
How did you do that?
Yeah. I sought out counseling.
Okay.
And it's the best thing that I could have done. I've been in it for about a year now. And if I wish that my mom had seen the signs early on, and gotten me counseling, you know, a long time ago. However, counseling is taboo in our community, and just not even, I guess, wanting to address the situation because she doesn't see it as abuse. It's normal to her, so, you know, it's not even an issue for me. And I even noticed that my mom would rather me be with a handsome young man who may beat me, but a young man who's of some substance and of good class.
Good on paper, in other words.
Right, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would rather me be with someone that she views as a nice guy, but in reality, he's abusive to me. And she won't even if I speak it to her now and say, you know, he's not a nice guy, he verbally abuses me, whatever. It's almost like, well, you should accept it because he's a nice looking guy.
Well, but let me ask you this.
Yes.
How are you doing now?
I am able to choose the men in my life in a much wiser way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to have an outlook of exactly what I want in my life. I know what I've had, so I'm able to see those warning signs and not ignore them.
Okay.
And so those are the things that I'm working on, I'm so sorry, I'm outside.
Yeah.
I've got to
let my guests chime in because we do have some other phone calls. Queen, what are you hearing from Kim?
Well, I think, you know, what she said is correct. You know, it takes a lot of counseling for that, to break that cycle for the person, you know, who finally says, I want to demote my heart and, you know, lead with my brain. That's what I tell people all the time. Move your heart out the way. Let's learn some brain tactics here where you can ask the questions that you need to ask when you're dating someone, when you can get into a space, a more healthier space, and know what you want from someone. So absolutely, the road that she's headed on, it sounds like she could get a Mr. Right someday.
Well, let us hope so. And for you, your thoughts, Carlotta?
I think now that she's in a better place, she can probably help her mom. When she's strong enough and understand her life is her life, then maybe she can maybe bring her mom into counseling with her, or just give her mom some advice, depending on where their relationship is right now. But I do feel like that she's in a place now that be able to help her mom.
Well, thank you so much, Kim, for sharing with us. I appreciate you sharing your story, and we continue to wish you the best of health in the relationships that you begin to establish from here on out. So thank you. Let's talk real quick before I go to my next phone call about resources. Where can people find help, whether it be online or other organizations, anything that either one of you can share with us?
Sure. Loveisrespect.org is a website, and it's a website for young people as well as older people. They have many mentoring programs. Michelle Dunn, My Gift, she deals with a lot of young ladies. And I know Men Aiming Higher deals with a lot of young men.
Okay. And Afi, do you have
and
any?
And, of course, you know, you can find me on Facebook, Q-U-E-E-N-A-F-I. And then, of course, teens or parents, whoever can call the National Hotline for Domestic Violence, 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-SAFE. And they can link you to other resources that, you know, cater to your specific problem.
And as always, I'll make sure that this information is posted on WHUR.com on the Daily Drum page about 30 minutes after the program ends after 8 o'clock. Let me go to Cindy. Cindy calling from Utah. Cindy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a 18-year-old daughter who has been dating a gentleman or a young man for just under 2 years. He has been very come to find out, verbal, mental. There's one point where he had, like, pulled her hair and pushed her down. And she's tried to get out of this relationship with him, and we believe he's out of her life now. We've pretty much told him, don't ever come back again. But she is so depressed. She's dropped out of school. I can't get her to come out of her room. I've tried to take her to counseling. And honestly, I don't know what to do for her.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions. She's so depressed. She has anxiety. She can't even leave. I don't know if these are some of the things that the other ladies have felt and they've overcome them. I don't know what to do for her.
So what should she do? First of all, obviously she's in Utah. Family believes that this young man is out of her life, but now she's transitioned into another difficult point in her life. What should she do now to address where she is now?
One step that she can go to is social services. They might have some type of counseling that might come to the house. And if they can come to the house and talk to her, they might get her to come outside of the house, give her some home counseling, give her mom some home counseling, and really go from there if the daughter doesn't want to come out the house.
Have you attempted to find some counseling, whether it be home counseling or otherwise?
I have. We have a couple of therapists that live in our little town that we live in, and I have asked her to go with me. I have been myself to find out what I can do to help her, but I haven't gotten her to go yet. She's just still too, she's so afraid that wherever she goes, she's going to see this particular person. And so she's not ready for that just yet. I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
So you say you live in a small town. He's also in that same small town?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Queen, that is a very specific kind of situation. Not, you know, these are affecting people not only in big cities and in the suburbs, but obviously in the small town. And I think, you know, she does have a very valid concern.
She does. It takes a lot of courage for victims to step out, you know, and fight for their life. Right now, she can't fight for her life because she's so scared that the abuser will come after her. And see, the aftermath of domestic violence is far more dangerous than being in the relationship itself. The chances of dying goes up 75%. So her daughter is right to feel what she feels, but she does need a lot of encouragement, you know. And again, like I said, hearing stories of other women that have been through this will help encourage her and lift her up. And of course, reaching out to the counseling spaces. You can also type on YouTube. My organization, my survivor stories are out there and can be very inspirational for your daughter. Just something she can watch right at the computer, right at your home, that will help her. She can play that video over and over and over again, and she can look it up under Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags on YouTube. Go there and search, and you'll see the survivor story. That's what they call the survivor stories, and let her play those videos. They are so inspirational.
Let me also ask, before I let Cindy go, because she said that she has gone, and obviously her daughter does have familial support. How important is family support? And is it possible And I'm just reaching here, since we are talking about someone who is in a small town, mm-hmm. is it possible that the young man could also perhaps be in a position to receive help, counseling, and the like? Or is that a stretch, Carlotta?
I'm not saying it's a stretch, but if he doesn't believe what he's doing is wrong, then it's a stretch.
Okay.
I think we need to deal with the victim. You can maybe even get the police involved and to express their concern. Maybe they can give them some pointers on what they do since they live in a really small town. But maybe someone can go talk to the young man and see where he is, where his head is. And if it seems like he's moving on, then maybe that would be some to give her some type of peace. But she has to feel safe before she does anything. I think safety is the key for anyone.
Not just physical safety, but emotional safety.
Emotional
as well.
Safety, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for, you know, sharing your story with us. And you know, and obviously, you know, you love your daughter. You're a good mother, and I think you just have to find, you know, the right fit for the right resources. And I just suspect that things will eventually move forward in a very, very positive light, certainly for your daughter.
I hope so. Yeah. I do have one question.
Real
you
quick.
Said domestic mm-hmm. tags have many faces. Is that what you said?
Domestic violence. Wears WEAR. Many tags on YouTube.
Yeah, domestic violence wears.
Okay.
Yeah, domestic violence wears many tags.
Mm-hmm. Wears many tags. Okay, yes. I apologize. I messed that up.
That's fine.
That's quite all right.
Okay, I'll have for watching. Thank you.
Good luck to you and your daughter. And Cindy, thank you so much for your phone call. That is the Daily Drum for SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, February 28th. I want to thank both of my guests, Queen Afi, as well as Carlotta Wade, for sharing their experiences and their support. And of course, as I said, information that has been provided on this program will be posted on WHUR.com within the next 30 or 40 minutes. So definitely log online and check out. You never know what resources may be helpful for you and your family. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum.